today we are starting a series that I think is just so important that we talk about for a few weeks. And a few months ago, we were in a series called Used To. And in that series, I mentioned that I think there are three things that generally can cause people to kind of disconnect from faith, to disconnect from belief in God. And I said that in that series, we talked about two of them. And I mentioned that we were going to come back later in the fall, and we're going to talk about the third one for an entire series. And this is that series. We're in this series called Fracture. We're going to talk about a thing that I think is so big and such a big deal. It can cause people to disconnect from God. It can cause people to move away from God. And that thing that we're going to be talking about for the next 4 or 5 weeks is simply the thing that many of us would call hurt or pain. Would you guys just say pain? Yeah. So here's what you know is that a couple things about pain is that pain can come in a lot of different forms, but pain can sometimes be very little. I mean, where to the outside observer, they wouldn't even notice your pain. You would go like, okay, you might not notice it, but I feel it. Anybody know what I'm talking about when I say it? Like that to somebody looking out, they'd go, well, that's not even really a thing. That's just what, you know, whatever. And you'd go, no, but I feel it, and I feel like it's actually like something that's affecting me. On the flip side, pain can also be really, really, really big. If you'd put up that next one, pain can be really big, where anyone could look at your life and go, oh my gosh, like, I know you have gone through something, like it's obvious to everyone around you, and the people come around you and they offer support and they offer friendship and they say, if you ever need a shoulder to cry on, here's a shoulder to cry on. And because when pain is big, everyone can see it, everyone can notice it, and everyone goes, hey, there's some pain here. We need to come around here, around this person and support them. And then on top of that, you got the little pain, you got the big pain, and then you've got just kind of the average everyday pain, where sometimes people would look at it and go, yeah, well, everybody kind of goes through that at some point in their life. You know, everybody eventually sprains an ankle. Everybody eventually, you know, gets strep. A lot of people have to have colonoscopies. I mean, like, you think through stuff like that, and you kind of go, you know, yeah, it's just, that's kind of an everyday part of life pain, that stuff just happens, and people go through stuff, and people deal with stuff. And if I'm being honest, like, this one is the one that, for me, I kind of struggle with this one. Because I don't feel like I've had a lot of like big, intense, like life-changing pain in the course of my life. But I do know that I've had a lot of ankle sprains, and I've had a lot of times where like I have apparently a weak immune system, and I've gotten a strep so many times, and I've gotten the flu, and I got swine flu a couple of years when that was going around. That was really fun. And like and I got mono as an adult, which who knows how that happens, but like I've gone through kind of some stuff, and I've gone through these things, and I feel like this is one of those where, like, to me, these average pains, because I haven't experienced a lot of like really intense pain, the average pain feels like intense pain. Does that make sense? And for me, like I feel like I feel that like this average pain is kind of like kind of the same as intense pain. And when I feel that way, I feel like people kind of look at me and go, that's not that big of a deal. You're kind of being ridiculous. For example, a few years ago, when I was a youth pastor in Alamogordo, I was kind of in this little weird stretch of ministry where in 3 months of ministry time, like in 3 months' time, I spoke and preached for 51 different services. Like that included our youth group, which is 2 services every week, our main service a couple times, which was 3 services every weekend, a couple FCA services, a couple FCA retreats, a couple times where there was churches in the area that didn't have a pastor, and I went to fill in for them for the weekend. And so over this 3 month time period, I spoke 51 and preached for 51 services, which is a lot. Like, it's a lot. And in that 3 month time frame, what happened to me is that I also got strep 3 times, which most people would say, you can't get strep 3 times in 3 months, but I did. I also had the flu once, like the type A flu. Like I was just sick. Basically, if I wasn't preaching a service, I was sick, and I was just kind of like exhausted and tired and worn down. And so I kept going to the doctor, you know, getting diagnosed with strep, getting diagnosed with strep, getting diagnosed with strep, getting diagnosed with the flu. And the third time, I went to an urgent care because my doctor's office was closed. I went to the urgent care, and it was a doctor I had never seen before. And he looked in my throat and he said, "Can I ask you something? How long have you been smoking?" And I thought that was kind of an interesting question, because I kind of chuckled about it. I said, "Oh, I don't smoke. I'm a pastor." And he goes, "Oh, well, do you speak a lot?" And then I really laughed, and I said, "Well, actually, at that point I was 45 services in the 3 months time. I still had 6 more to go." And I was like, "You know, yeah, I told him how many times I had spoken recently." And he looks at me, and he got very, very serious, and he goes, "That's too much. And you need to get that under control, because here's what could happen. Like, your throat looks like the throat of someone who's been smoking 2 packs a day for 6 years." And I thought, well, that's not very good. And he said, now, if you don't get this under control, start speaking less, scheduling yourself so crazy. If you don't do that, you could get a throat infection and you would actually entirely lose your voice for the rest of your life. He said, so you need to slow down, you need to schedule a little better, you need to stop speaking so much. And when he said that, I don't know if what you think when you hear that, but when he told me that, his message was, hey, you can control this, you just need to schedule yourself a little better, you need to slow down, you need not speak so much. What I heard was, Chris, you are definitely going to lose your voice for the rest of your life, and since you speak for a living, you're going to lose your job, and since Jalen's kind of a gold digger, when you lose your job, she's going to divorce you and leave you, so Chris, your life is basically falling apart. That's what I heard, and I kind of told that to some people, and when I told that to those people, I was literally freaking out. I had a moment like, what am I going to do? And they had the same kind of response that you're probably having right now, like, Chris, you just settle down, buddy. You're going to be fine. Just stop speaking so much and don't speak so long. And you're like, and all these, and that was kind of just what I felt, that I had this like kind of average, normal pain, and I felt it as this big, intense pain. And what you know about pain and what I know about pain is that the person who's experiencing the pain ultimately determines the level of how intense the pain feels to them. Does that make sense? That if it's a little pain, big pain, average pain, what it feels like to you is how it feels to you. And so when sometimes we come and say, like, well, that's no big deal. If it's a big deal, it's to you, it's a big deal to you. And so as we start this series talking about hurt, talking about pain, I think we have to understand a few things. And the first one is simply this. It's simply this, that pain comes in many different forms, and eventually pain comes to everyone. You know what I'm talking about? That pain comes in many different forms, and eventually it comes to everyone. And we say, when I'm saying pain comes in many forms, let me just read a couple words that for you might spark something about some pain that you've experienced in your life. For one, maybe a breakup. That there was a relationship that you thought, man, this is a really good relationship. We really like each other. We're going to go the distance. We're going to get married. And then someone broke it off. And you're thinking, wait. That wasn't what was supposed to happen, and that kind of broke your heart. Maybe it was the loss of a job where you really enjoyed your job. You loved the stability that the income provided, and you loved, you know, the way that you were going to live because of that, and all of a sudden you lost your job, and you're going, what do we do now? And that uncertainty caused some pain. Maybe it was some physical pain. Maybe it was arthritis. Maybe it was a sprained ankle. Maybe it was a torn ACL. Maybe it was a torn Achilles. Maybe it was a knee injury. Maybe it was a back injury. Maybe for you, back pain is just a normal part of life, and you kind of go, hey, I don't know what it's like to live without back pain, but you wake up in the morning and you just hurt, and that's maybe part of your story. Maybe it was the loss of a loved one, that when you had a close aunt, you had a close relative, a close grandmother, a close grandfather, someone that you really cared about, and they passed away, and you just thought, how do you go on when you lose someone that you love? How do people go on from that? Maybe it was that you went to a doctor and you got a diagnosis that where you don't know how there's hope. Maybe it was just a bad diagnosis from a doctor. Maybe it was a divorce. I don't know all of your story, but maybe for you there was a divorce somewhere in your family, or maybe it was you personally. You went through a divorce and you just kind of went, this hurts. Like, you know, life hurt in that moment and from that season, and maybe from that point forward, life has hurt a little bit. Maybe it was a miscarriage. Maybe you were at a doctor and you were trying to have a baby and you heard the word infertile and you thought, What do you do with that? I mean, it just hurt. It was this hope that you had had. You had the hope. You had the hope. You had the hope. And all of a sudden, in that doctor's office, with those doctor's words, it seemed like all of those hopes were gone, and that hurt. Maybe it was that you had a colicky baby, and you were trying to sleep through the night, and you were trying to sleep through the night, and then you were trying to stay awake through the day, and the baby wouldn't let you sleep, and so you know you're wanting to sleep through the day, or sleep through the day, and you got to work through the day, and all of a sudden you're like, hey, how am I existing on a half hour of sleep every day? I don't think that I can go for very long like this. Maybe it was that when you had a kid, parenting ended up being harder than you expected. Maybe it's when you got married, you found out that marriage was not quite what you expected, that it was harder than you expected. Maybe for you, it's being aware that you aren't living up to a parent's expectations. That when your parents talk to you, they say, well, hey, why haven't you done this? And why haven't you taken this step? And why haven't you done this? And how long is it going to take for you to get married? And how long is it going to take for you to give us grandbabies? And how long is it going to take for you to get the right job and the real job and the adult job? And you kind of look at your life and you go, I guess I don't measure up, and that can hurt. Maybe it's depression. Maybe it's anxiety. I don't know exactly what your pain. And maybe sometimes you look at the world and you think, like, what happened in Houston and what happened in Florida and what happened with the wildfires in California. You kind of look at that and go, there's so much hurt and there's so much pain. The natural disasters, even, like, outside of stuff that happens in your life, there's stuff that happens around your life that can absolutely wreck on life. Maybe you've gotten in a car accident and you ended up with some pain from that, or you ended up having the cost of that, and maybe you've had some financial difficulty. Here's the thing. I say all that not to remind us that there's so many bad things in the world, but just to simply acknowledge that pain comes in a lot of different forms. It can be really personal. It can be something that happens to you. It can be something that happens inside of you. But pain comes in many different forms. And eventually it comes to everyone. And eventually it comes to everyone, including Christians. And eventually it comes to everyone, even people who are doing everything right. And eventually it comes to people, who are following Jesus. And eventually it comes to everyone, even people who heard a pastor one time say, when you follow Jesus, he handles all your problems and nothing ever is really gonna hit you that hard. And here's the thing, I just wanna say so that we are all on the same page, so that we're all in agreement with this, that simply following Jesus does not guarantee a pain-free life. Following Jesus does not guarantee a difficulty life. In fact, I mean, when pastors say that, I'm kinda like, hey, I think you missed that one verse, buddy, where like Jesus actually said, in this life you will have, anybody know how that ends? Trouble. You have tribulations. You'll have difficulty. I mean, like, did you miss, like, that's one of the very few things that Jesus, like, guaranteed. Like, hey, guys, in this life, you're going to have trouble. Thanks, Jesus. You're an encourager. You know, like, Jesus said, like, hey, in this life, you're going to have hurt. You're going to have pain. You're going to have difficulty. You're going to have tribulations. You're going to have trouble. That pain comes in different, many different forms. And eventually, pain comes to everyone, including people who are following Jesus. And here's the second thing that I know about pain and that I think you know about pain, that nothing causes or raises more questions than pain. Nothing raises more questions than when you go through a difficult time. Nothing raises more questions than when you go, hey, what the heck is happening around me? Why am I going through this? Did I mean, like, when you go through pain, when you go through hurt, especially if it's some of those really intense times or those big times, you kind of look at your life and you go, like, why? Why is this pain happening to me? Why did this happen to me? Like, what do I do now? Like, this was kind of stripped away. This dream was, like, is just not going to happen. So what do I do now? You know, hey, was God even paying attention when this happened to me? When this was happening, when this was going on, was God even paying attention? Like, I thought God told me to pursue this relationship, and then the relationship ended. What do you do with that? Maybe you think, like, hey, where is God in the middle of this pain? Why does it seem like I try so hard to follow God and to do good, and this bad stuff happens to me? Anybody else ever wondered that? Like, hey, I'm following Jesus. I'm doing what he wants me to do. I'm doing my best to be obedient. And it seems like the rough stuff just keeps hitting me. I just keep getting beat up and beat up and beat up. So what in the world, how does that work? Maybe you've thought, hey, why isn't God answering my prayers? Where you're praying and you're saying, God, would you take this hurt away? Would you take this hurt away? Would you bring healing? And God doesn't seem to be bringing the healing right now. You go, why isn't God answering my prayers in this? Why didn't God answer my prayers and not let this happen in the first place? Maybe you think, hey, did I do something to deserve this? Anybody ever wondered that? Like, did I do something that I'm not really aware of? Do I somehow deserve this hurt, deserve this pain? Am I doing something where I really don't know it? Like, why? And then here's the thing. Why would a loving God allow me to experience this? At the end of the day, like, why? God, why? Like, why? Where? Like, why? Why this? Why now? Why me? Why not them? Why me? Like, why cancer? Why hurt? Why breaking? Why broken bones? Why this diagnosis? Why back pain? Why relational pain? Why divorce? I mean, like, when you look at it, you go, why did this happen? And why would God allow it? And here's a really big one. And here's the question that I think a lot of us are confronted with in the middle of hurt, in the middle of pain, in the middle of those difficult times in life, where I think we look at our life and on top of the why and on top of what is God up to, we would ask this question. Is this, am I broken? Like, is this breaking me? And when we say, am I broken, here's a couple things that I think this means. Like, will I always deal with this pain? I mean, if you're someone who's dealt with chronic physical pain, you may look at your pain and kind of go, hey, is this just my new reality? Am I always going to deal with back pain? Am I always going to deal with knee pain? Am I always going to deal with shoulder? Like, is this just my new reality? Am I broken? Am I never going to really come back right? Will I always be reminded of this hurt? Like, you may have had a breakup, you may have gone through a divorce, you may have gone through any of that stuff, and the rest of your life, you're kind of thinking, like, is the rest of my life going to be defined by that? Am I broken? Am I always going to be the divorced person or the single person, the person who could never make it work in a relationship? Is that going to define me for the rest of my life? Is miscarriage going to define me for the rest of my life? You kind of look at it and you go, hey, am I always going to be reminded of this hurt? Maybe you think, am I always going to live? Am I going to live the rest of my life with these scars? Maybe you think, is this relationship dead and gone forever? If you've had a difficult relationship with a parent, if you've had a difficult relationship with one of your kids, and it's at a broken point, and it's at a point where you kind of look at it and go, hey, we're not even talking. We can't even be in the same room together with things without things getting bad and without people yelling. You kind of look at that and you go, is this just dead and gone forever? Maybe you look at your situation and go, hey, do people ever bounce back from this? Maybe you've had some difficult times financially and you had to declare bankruptcy, and you look at the word bankruptcy on your file and you go, do people bounce back from that? Like, do people bounce back from a bankruptcy? Maybe you look at the situation and go, hey, like, are things ever gonna go back to the same? Like, I've gone through this injury, I've gone through this difficult time, we went through a difficult stretch in our marriage. You know, can we ever go back to what we used to be? Can things ever be good again? Is it possible to pick up the pieces and move forward? And sometimes, let's be honest, it's not even a question. We just feel broken. And we kind of would look at our lives and go, yep, I'm broken. And we wonder if there's ever, ever, ever going to actually be a way forward. Am I broken? When pain hits, when hurt hits, when life hits hard, are we broken? And where is God in the middle of that? And can God do anything with this hurt? And can God bring me back? And is there any hope? And is there any way forward? Is there any healing for the brokenness that I feel? And if you've ever asked that question, or if you ever do ask that question, what we're about to read together today, I hope this brings incredible clarity to this question, to the idea of pain, the idea of hurt. Are we broken? Is there a way forward? Can things ever be good again? Is there hope for my future? Is there healing for what I've experienced? I hope that what we're about to read together today may just be the most encouraging thing that you ever hear in the middle of pain, maybe the most encouraging thing that you remember in the middle of pain, maybe the thing that actually helps you to move forward from your pain. And we're going to read together from the book of Psalms. And in this passage, I think we have to understand that sometimes there are questions that God leaves unanswered because maybe it just doesn't really matter. And on this side of eternity, we may never understand, but God hopes that we'll continue to follow him. And when we get to heaven someday, we will understand perfectly and we'll see God face to face and we'll know perfectly the answer to the question that we've been asking. And sometimes there's questions that God seems to leave unanswered for a while so that we continue to pursue him and pursue him and seek him and seek him and seek him, because in finding him we find the answers. And then there are some questions that God just makes crystal clear what the answer to our question is, because he doesn't want us to wonder and he doesn't want us to wander and he doesn't want us to drift unknowingly away from him. And so this is this question, am I broken? God addresses this question in the book of Psalms. And in the book of Psalms, I don't know if you know much about the book of Psalms, but this portion that we're about to read was written by King David. And lest you think that David was a guy who hadn't really experienced much of life, let me just read a couple things that happened to David before he wrote this particular psalm. There was a prophet who one day came to his town when he was a young man, and the prophet said to his dad, hey, there's something special that's about to happen. Go bring all of your sons to dinner tonight. And something special is about to happen at dinner tonight. And his father looked through his family directory, his family photo album, his contacts in his phone, his favorites in his phone. And David was the bottom one on the favorites. He wasn't even in the favorites. He didn't get invited to the dinner. He's like, this prophet, this man of God said, hey, bring all of your sons. And his own father said, okay, well, I'll bring all but David, because he doesn't really matter. David experienced that kind of pain. He was unfairly hunted by a madman king. I mean, I don't know what your pain has ever been, but I've never been hunted by a madman king. I've never had someone chasing me through the countryside trying to kill me and throw spears at me and hunting me down and chasing me into caves and chasing me into places that I don't want to be. I've never experienced that. Here's another thing. He was, at one point, he was married to this madman king's daughter when things were going well and the relationship was solid. He was married to the king's daughter, and then when things went south between him and the king took his wife and basically ripped up their marriage contract and married his daughter and David's wife to another man, just to spite David. His own son, after David became the king, his own son rebelled against him and tried to take the kingdom from him, and at one point he had a son die at birth. What we're about to read was written by a man who knew pain, who knew hurt, who knew difficulty, who knew just how hard life could come at you. And yet here's what he wrote in Psalm chapter 34, starting in verse 17. He wrote this. He said, the Lord, what's that word in yellow? Yeah, the Lord hears. The Lord hears his people when they call to him for help. Now, I don't know if I don't know what, you know, what you're going to feel about any of anything we say I say today or anything I read today. But if we can just stop there and go, wow, okay, when I'm crying, when I'm worried, when I'm fearful, when I don't know that I can make it, when I don't know that there's hope for the future, as when I cry to God, when I talk to God, when I pray to God, it's not just bouncing off the ceiling. It's not just going up into the air and drifting off into space. When I talk to God in the middle of my pain, the Lord hears. The Lord hears his people when they call to him for help. He rescues them from all their troubles. Then it says this in verse 18. The Lord is close. Would you say close? The Lord is close to the brokenhearted. He rescues those whose spirits are crushed. And here's the beautiful thing there. I don't know if you've felt this, but I know I have felt this personally in my own life. When you cling to what God is saying here, that when you go through pain, God has this incredible way of coming close. It says he hears. It says he rescues. It says he's close. That God is not distant when we are going through pain. It actually says, what this scripture teaches us is simply this, that the deeper the hurt, the closer God comes. That in your deepest moments of pain, that in your most intense moments of pain, when you feel tempted to kind of like lean back and lean away and go, God, like, where are you? And I question, I'm questioning. God has this way of knowing that since our tendency is to lean away, that that's his moment where he leans in. And he comes closest when we tend to want to drift the furthest. So in our pain, in our difficulty, in our hurt, God says, I'm going to come in your direction because in this moment, you're going to want to wander. You're going to wonder if I've been up to anything. You're going to wonder if I've been working on your behalf. You're going to wonder if I'm good. You're going to wonder if there's good, if there's peace for you. You're going to wonder all of that kind of stuff. And so while you're wondering, I'm going to come close and move into your direction so that you do not have to wander alone. You do not go through your hurt alone. That the deeper the hurt, the closer God comes. Now, you may wish and you may hope that God would come close at all kinds of different times and that he would be close and in your midst on any given day. But God knows that when you need him most, he's going to come the closest. So in your hurt, in your pain, in your difficulty, in your diagnosis, in your breakup, in your divorce, whatever you're going through, God comes close. And that's good news. That's good news, that when you go through pain, God is not distant, God is not far away, he is not absent, he is not listening to you, he is listening, he rescues, he comes close, he hears you. That's good news. But that's not the end of the good news. See, this scripture goes on. And in verse 19, David goes a little further and he says this, look, the righteous person faces many troubles. Again, scripture is so encouraging in this moment. Like the righteous person, they face many troubles. Congratulations. David knew this. He understood that pain comes to everyone, that hurt eventually comes to every life. The righteous person faces many troubles, but the Lord comes to the rescue how many times? Each time. He says, the Lord comes to the rescue each and every time. Whatever pain you're in, whatever difficulty you face, whatever hurt has hit your life, he says, look, the Lord rescues that time. And when it comes next time, the Lord can rescue that time. And the Lord can bring healing that time. And the next time, and the next time, and the next time. So when you're 16 and you go through a breakup and life hurts and you wonder if there's any hope for the future, God can rescue that time. And when you're 20 and you're trying to figure out what's my next step in life and I feel like I'm just wandering, I feel like I have no purpose and I have no direction in life, and how do you go through that? The Lord rescues in that moment. And when you're 26 and you're pregnant with your first baby and you have a miscarriage and you wonder, can things ever be good? God rescues that time. And when you're 39 and you have back pain for the first time or knee pain for the first time and you go, oh man, I guess I'm just getting old and I'm going to deal with pain for the rest of my life, the Lord brings healing that time. Does this make sense? That whenever pain you feel, when we look to God, he rescues each and every time. He's that good. There's always hope. There's always healing. Then he goes on, he says this, that I just love this verse. This is where this entire series came from, is simply this. In verse 20, it says, for the Lord protects the bones of the righteous. Not one of them is, what? Not one of them is broken. It says, the Lord protects. It's like the Lord has a shield around you, that he will let some things get through, and he'll let some things hit you, and he'll let some things happen to your life, but he does not let you be broken. Am I broken? When you're following God, when you're with God, when you, like, you may feel broken, you may feel cracked, you may feel like there's some things that have gotten through, but God will not let you be broken. He protects you from brokenness. He protects you from being broken. The Lord will let some things through you, to you. God will let some things at your life, but he will not let you be broken. Here's the bottom line, and here's what this scripture, I think, teaches us more than anything. That you may be cracked, but with God, you are never broken beyond repair. That you may be cracked. There may be some things that have hit your life. There may be some really difficult times that have come your way. There may be some stuff that you kind of wonder, why would God ever allow this? There may be those things, but in those moments, you are still never broken beyond repair. See, can we? I want us to go back, if you'd put up that last scripture, if you'd go back one screen. I'd like us to just repeat a few things together. Would you say, the Lord protects? Let's try again. Say, the Lord protects. The Lord protects. One more time. Say, the Lord protects. The Lord protects. The Lord protects. And one more, and can we also say this? Not one of them is broken. Oh, you got better than that. Say, not one of them is broken. One more time. Say, not one of them is broken. And now just make it personal. Would you just say, not one of me is broken? See, in your most intense moments of pain, it feels like you've been hit. It feels like you've been shattered into a million pieces, and it can feel like you don't know if there's any hope for the future. But in this moment, in this scripture, I think we need to understand that, yes, we may be cracked. Yes, some things may have hit our lives. We are not broken because God protects the bones of the righteous. God protects the life of the righteous. God protects his people who are following him. That life may hit you and life may get to you, but you are not broken. See, what I think is so good about this, when I was growing up, and I don't know if you're this way, but apparently a lot of people are this way. I don't know why I remember this. I think it's because my sister broke a lot of bones when she fell off a bike. She fell on rollerblades. She just kept breaking stuff all the time. And she would go into the doctor, and they would make this distinction between a fracture and a break. Anybody ever had this happen where when you grew up? Well, when I was growing up, it felt like this was a big distinction, and they would make a distinction between the fracture and the break. And if you Google it today, you say, what's the difference between a fracture and a break? The number one result is nothing. There is no difference. There's no difference between a fracture and break. And yet most people my age, and based on a lot of the heads that are nodding here today, most people would say, yeah, no, I have this understanding. There is a difference between a fracture and a break. And what you understand, and if you've had that moment, you know that the difference with the way doctors used to talk about it, that there was a fracture, which was like, you know, it was serious. It was something that you had to pay attention to, something you wanted to go see a doctor for, and they would do some x-rays, and they would, you know, kind of look at it, and they go, okay, we need to put a cast on you. But you probably didn't need surgery for a fracture. You probably just need a cast for about 4 weeks or sometimes an air cast, and you would kind of go like, cool. You know, if you were a kid, you're like, cool, now people can sign my cast, and it's going to smell disgusting in 3 weeks. And it was like a great moment. But you didn't need surgery. You didn't need screws put into it. I mean, you were going to recover just fine. Things were going to heal themselves. Things were going to get better on their own eventually. You didn't need surgery. And then there was a break, and the break was all the way through, and the break was a much bigger thing. And the break a lot of times required surgery, and it required a longer rehabilitation time, and it may have actually required you to actually do some physical rehab. And there was a bigger recovery, and you didn't know if it was ever actually going to really go back to being as strong as it once was. That was the difference between a fracture and a break. Anybody else remember that this is kind of the way they used to talk about it? See, the reason we called this series Fracture is simply because of that, and because of this scripture, and because of that idea, that God will allow some things in your life that may fracture you, that may bring a crack, that may be a difficult thing to deal with. But you're not broken beyond repair. You're not broken beyond repair. You will bounce back. There is hope. There is healing. There is a tomorrow. There is a next time. There is a next relationship. There is a next time. There is a next season. There is a next time where you are going to be healthy. That God has this amazing way of saying, you are cracked. You have gone through some life. Life has hit you hard, but you are not broken. You are not broken. So here's the thing that I think is so important to understand about this, that you will feel hurt, you will experience grief, you may have some financial difficulties, physical pain may be your reality for a while, sickness may last for a season, and losing a loved one will hurt, but God. And those two words are so important, but God. But God. But God comes to the rescue. But God hears you when you cry. But God protects. But God won't let it break you. You will experience all of that stuff, and you'll probably experience some more than I've mentioned in your lifetime. But God won't let it break you. And that's good news. I hope that brings hope. I hope that brings an understanding that God is so good that he protects you. He has a shield around you, and he'll maybe let some stuff through so that things happen. And we don't know why, and we're going to talk about the why next week. But God will not let those things break you. He will not let those things break you. See, there's this idea in ancient Japanese history, and it's kind of come about on social media, and it started to kind of become known because of a show that I think was on Amazon Video a few months back or something like that. And it's this simple word. If you'd put it up the next screen up, it's simply this word, kintsugi. Would you guys say kintsugi? Kintsugi is this ancient Japanese practice, and what it is they would take broken pottery, they would take pottery that had a crack in it or that was broken, that had kind of broken into a couple different pieces, and they would look at this pottery and go, you know, well, what do you do with that? Do you just throw it away? Do you just cast it aside? And someone back hundreds and hundreds of years ago, they started taking it and saying, you know what, we actually believe there's beauty in the brokenness, and we believe that this thing could actually be more beautiful if we put it back together and if we restore it. So they would start taking little bits of gold, and they would shave it down and make it into this gold dust and this gold powder, and they would put it into this like specially made lacquer, where they would go and they would actually take this little like, a little brush, and they'd put this little bit of gold or little bit of silver, and it would be the thing that would join together these broken pieces of pottery. We actually have a couple pictures of this if you'd put those up on screen, but it ends up looking like this, and you kind of see it and you go, wow, that's actually kind of like really, really, really beautiful. And the principle, they actually say this when people are teaching kintsugi, they use a couple phrases that they talk about. And the first phrase is simply this, that the piece is more beautiful for having been broken. That without the break, there would not have been room for the gold. Without the break, there would not have been room for the silver. If the piece had not been cracked, it would have just remained simply ordinary pottery. But now that it was cracked and now that it's been repaired with gold. And the other phrase that they use is the most beautiful part of the piece is where the break occurred. And so there's this simple idea that, like, hey, something actually can be more beautiful after it's been broken and after it's been put back together. That where the cracks are can actually become the most beautiful place of the piece. And the reason I bring that up today is simply to remind us that we can become so fixated on the hurt, on the pain, on the event that happened, on the diagnosis, on what happened, on the fight that happened, on the argument that happened, on the fact that things are not currently what we wish they would be. We can get so focused on that and miss the fact that maybe, just maybe, just maybe, God wants to do something where that break has happened, where that crack has happened, where that fracture happened. And maybe, just maybe, God has a way of making that crack, that fracture, the most beautiful part of your life. That what God does out of your pain can far outweigh the pain that you feel in the moment. That what happens may be big, but what God brings out of it may be more beautiful than you can possibly imagine. That the healing God brings out of it, the hope that God brings out of it, the story that God brings out of it, the faithfulness that God brings out of it, the faithfulness that God shows you in that moment, maybe, just maybe, that's a far bigger deal than the actual pain itself. And maybe you and maybe me will end up being more beautiful for having been fractured, maybe be more beautiful, more strong, more able to show the world the love of God because of the fractures and the cracks and the difficulties and the hurt and the pain that has come our way. That we are not broken. God puts us back together. God has hope, and he has healing for every hurt. Now, as we come to a close today, I want to read one more passage of scripture, and this comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, starting in verse 8. It says, this is Paul writing. Again, Paul had experienced so much pain throughout his life, so much difficulty throughout his life. Here's what he said as he neared the end of his life, as he wrote from a Roman prison. He said this, "We are pressed on every side by troubles." That's a pretty rough way to start a passage. We're pressed on every side by troubles, but we're not crushed. In other words, hey, difficulty has come, but we're not broken. We are perplexed, but we're not driven to despair. We're hurt, but we're not broken. We are hunted down, but we are never abandoned by God. We get knocked down, but we get up again. You're never going to get me down. No, just kidding. That's a different part. That's a Smash Mouth song. We get knocked down, but we are not destroyed. Again, we're hurt, but we're not broken. Through suffering, our bodies continue to share in the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may also be seen in our bodies. Yes, we live under constant danger of death because we serve Jesus. In other words, again, just in case you think, hey, serving Jesus is going to help you live a pain-free life. Nope. We live under constant danger of death because we serve Jesus so that the life of Jesus will be evident in our dying bodies. So we live in the face of death, but this has resulted in eternal life for you. Then he goes on a few verses later, he says this, that is why we never give up. Would you say that is why we never give up? Oh, come on. This has to be like a defiant, like stomping your feet, spitting in someone's face. I mean, not like someone that you like, but someone that you dislike, you know, like spitting in the face of pain. That is why we never give up. So on the count, let's try it with just a little bit of attitude. Ready? 1, 2, 3. That is why we never give up. Look, we're perplexed, but we're not in despair. We're hunted down, but we're not caught. We're hurt, but we're not broken. That is why we never give up. Because God is still doing something, because God is still working, because God's still in control. We never give up. Because out of this pain, out of this difficulty, out of this hurt, God may do something. He said right before he says, look, this fear of death, it's resulted in eternal life. So God's done something out of it. And I wouldn't trade what God has done. I wouldn't trade it for a lack of pain. I wouldn't trade it for a pain-free life. God is always up to something. God is always doing something. So we're not going to give up. That is why we never give up. Though our bodies are dying, our spirits are being renewed every day. For our present troubles are, what's that next word? Small. For our present troubles are small. You're like, no. Sometimes they feel really big. Paul says, no. When you look in the face of eternity, your present troubles are kind of small and they won't last very long. Yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. So we don't look at the troubles we can see now. Rather, we fix our gaze on the things that cannot be seen. For the things we see now will what? They will soon be gone. But the things that we cannot see will last forever. In other words, Paul goes, look, hey, in this moment, when you're facing difficulty, when you're facing hurt, all that you may see is the pain. All that you may see is the difficulty, and you may not be able to see a way forward. But he says, look, that will soon be gone. It will soon fade away. It will soon be no longer a part of your life. It will soon no longer be part of your reality. That, in other words, he's saying, look, your current pain may be part of your current reality, but it does not have to be the entire rest of your story. That the pain that you see right now, it will soon be gone. But the things that we can't see, it's going to last forever. That what God is doing in your pain, what God's doing in your break, what God's doing in your fracture, what God's doing in your hurt, what God's doing in your heart right now, in the middle of your pain, that will last forever. And that's good news. And that's beautiful news. If you're in the middle of pain, when you're in the middle of pain, when you go through something in the future, that if you've gone through something in the past and you don't know how God could ever use it, the good news is you don't have to know, but God knows. You don't need to know how God's going to use it. You just simply stay faithful. You stay hopeful. You stay keeping your eyes on Jesus and saying, Jesus, I believe that you're going to continue to do good and be good and show yourself to be strong and show yourself to be good. So I'm not letting go and I will not give up. For the things that we see now will soon be gone. But the things that we can't see in this moment, we can't see what God's doing, but it will last forever. So a couple of things as we close. Couple thoughts about you and about God and about your relationship to God and your perspective on what God might be doing in your time of hurt. A couple things. Number one is that you are noticed. Would you just say, I'm noticed? That when you go through hurt, when you go through pain, and you feel like you are all alone, and you feel like you don't know if anyone's ever, if anyone is paying attention to you, or if God is listening to your prayers, or if God knows your hurt, God knows your need, if God knows your pain, knows your experience, the good news is that you are noticed. That God hears you, that God sees you. God knows your pain. He knows what's going on in your heart. He knows the hurt that's hit your heart. He knows the pain that's hit your heart. He knows what may feel like despair that's hit your heart. He knows, he sees, he recognizes it. You are not alone. You are not unnoticed. That God notices you. He sees you. He hears you. He wants to be part of your life. And the good news about this is that you are noticed by a God who is not distant, who hasn't remained distant, but he comes close and he actually came close and lived with one, as one of us and experienced our pain. You are noticed by a God who knows what pain feels like. You are noticed. The second thing is that you are secure. Would you say, I'm secure? I'm secure. You are secure. I mean, that scripture teaches that we are protected, that we are pressed, but we're not crushed. We're persecuted, we're not abandoned, we're hunted, but we're never caught, that we are hurt, but we are not broken because God protects the bones of the righteous, the bones of the people who follow him, that in the arms of God, you are protected. Outside of his arms, I don't know how we handle this. I don't know how we go through life. Outside of the arms of a loving God, I don't know how we face pain, how we get through life. In God's arms, there is protection. With a relationship with God, there is a protection that God will not let us be broken, that you are secure, you are protected. And then the final thing is simply this, that you can remain hopeful. Would you just say really as cheerily as you can, I can remain hopeful. I can remain hopeful. That you can remain hopeful. That you follow a God who is working for you. See, Jalen and I, we started this phrase where we teach it to Noble. I think I was telling Tori about this a while ago, where you know, sometimes Noble is going through a little bit of a rough patch and she's getting kind of fussy and she wants her bottle or she wants a diaper change. And sometimes I'm just kind of, you know, during the day, we're in a moment where we can't get to her right now because we're working on something else. It's never that we're like sitting around playing video games going, sorry, baby, you know, gotta win mad and, you know, gotta do, you know, like it's never that. If we can't get to her in that moment, it's because we're working on something else. And we're working on something different. And we started saying this phrase, and I say it to Noble probably 17 times a day. I say, hey, baby, daddy's always working for you. Daddy's always working for you. Either I'm working for you and I'm getting your bottle ready and I'm heating up the bottle, or I'm, you know, running upstairs to get a new diaper for you or get a change for you because you blew out of the last diaper. But daddy's always working for you. And even if you can't see it, daddy's always working for you. And even if daddy's not getting the bottle that you want in this moment, or even if daddy's not getting you the new onesie, even if daddy's not getting your pacifier because daddy's working on church stuff, guess what? Daddy's always working for you. Daddy's always working to, you know, when you can't see mommy during the day, mommy's working for you so that you can have food to eat and so that we have a shelter, a roof over our head, that daddy and mommy are always working for you. And I don't know if that's going to mean anything to her. I mean, I just don't know. But here's what I know, that we love a God. We talk about a God. We read the word of a God who is always working for us. That whether we can see it happening, whether we feel his presence, whether we can see exactly what he's doing and what he's up to and how he's going to work things out, he is always working for you. That your heavenly Father is always working for you. And so you can always remain hopeful. You can always remain hopeful. And see, here's the thing. For some of us today, maybe you're going through some hurt right now. You're going through some difficult times right now. Or maybe something's happened in your past where you feel like you maybe have never really come out of it. And you've never really made it, you know, into the next thing. Or you never took a next step. Here's the thing that I want to say. Maybe you're at a crossroads. And the good news today is that when you're at a crossroads, you get to choose. You get to choose, okay, you know what? If I am noticed, why would I feel unnoticed? I'm going to choose to believe that God does notice to me. I'm going to choose to believe that God does have me secure in his hands. And I'm going to choose to believe that I can be hopeful even when it seems like there's no hope, because my heavenly Father is always working for me. He's always working for me. Always working for me. See, the thing is, we get hurt, we get beat up, we get fractured, but God will not let us get broken. And starting next week, we're going to talk about what we do with our hurt and with our cracks and with our fractures, because God may just be up to more than we think. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that you're good. Thank you that you love us. Thank you for the truth that you have just, that we've just read, that we've just spoken. God, thank you that in our most difficult times, where sometimes it's the most difficult to recognize you and what you're doing, God, we can know that you are working for us, that you are leading us, that you are directing us, and that you are protecting us. God, help us to trust that. Help us to know and to continually look for who you are and what you're doing in us and what you want to do through our most difficult times, in our most difficult pain, in our most difficult hurt. God, for where our hearts have been hurt, where our hearts have been cracked, God, I pray that you would bring the hope and that you would bring the healing that only you can bring. And God, that you would move us forward into the future that you want to build and that you want us to live. God, we love you. Help us to know where this lands and help us to have the courage to actually trust you and follow you into what's next. God, we love you and we pray this in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen.